Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump into this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given us this morning. Father, we pray now the anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon us all, Lord, that your word might go forth, Father, with a power and a clarity and a boldness that can only come from the anointing of the Spirit of God. So this morning, Lord, we put ourselves in your hands, and we ask you, Lord, to minister through this word today, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Before we get into the word this morning, I got a few things just to kind of share with you. And I imagine that most of moms can really identify with these few little stories I have here. It says, after putting her children to bed, Jackie changes into her old jeans, a worn-out blouse, and she proceeds to wash her hair. As she hears the children getting more and more noisy in their bedroom, her tolerance level grows thin. At last, Jackie wraps a towel around her wet head and storms into the room, putting them back in bed and giving them a stern warning. While leaving the room, she overhears her three-year-old saying in a shaky voice, "Who was that?" It says a four-year-old and a six-year-old presented their mom with a houseplant. They'd used their own money, and she was thrilled. The older of them said with a sad face, "There was a bouquet that we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was really pretty, but it was also too expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, 'Rest in peace.'" That's not the end of it, but it had a ribbon on it that said, "Rest in peace, and we thought it would be just perfect for you since you're always asking for a little peace so that you can rest." It says, while assembling furniture, Liz asked her friend's six-year-old son, Ricky, to bring her a screwdriver. "Do you want a daddy screwdriver or a mommy screwdriver?" Ricky politely inquired. Confused by the question, Lynn responded, "Bring me a mommy screwdriver." Ricky returned and handed her a butter knife. A small boy is sent to bed by his mother. 5 minutes later, "Mom?" "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water?" "No, you had your chance. Lights out." 5 minutes later, "Mom?" "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water?" "I told you no, and if you ask again, I'll spank you." 5 minutes later, "Mom?" "What?" Man, this describes my house perfectly. "Mom?" "What?" "When you come to spank me, can you bring a glass of water?" Man, I'm going to tell you that is my home right there. Here's one that I firmly and totally, completely hold on to and agree with. I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them. Amen. "When you come to spank me, can you bring me some water?" Oh, my Jesus. I'm convinced that me and my three brothers drove my mother insane because she says and does things now that are certainly outside of the orbit of sanity. But I can only blame that on what we gave to her as we were growing up. I look back at my childhood and I think, oh my Lord, if my kids would have done half the things I did, indeed, I think the whole house would have been insane. But nevertheless, we honor our moms this morning. Amen. We honor our moms. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. It's an incredible story tucked in the midst of this chapter that, as I read through it time and time again, it just brings awe to me at what this mom did on behalf of her child. So, Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, Send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Man, I'm telling you, that's just one of those stories that just kind of rattles my liver, you know, every time I read it, because it's kind of like at all obstacles that came in front of this woman, there was nothing that deterred her. And one of the things that I recognize in her is the spirit of a mom. Because I got to tell you something, moms have this, you know, dads love their kids. Don't misunderstand this. But moms, God has woven something into the DNA of a mom that is just, it's terrifying if you don't recognize it at first. I'm telling you, man, don't mess with my kids because I'll hurt you. But don't mess with my kids because my wife will kill you. I mean, really. I mean, I've seen people say something about my kids, and I can see the blood pressure rising in my wife, and she's reaching for that gun she's packed around for all this. I said, no, baby, no, no, it's okay. It's their grandparents. Don't kill their grandparents. But you read this story, and one of the things I think you can figure out early on is there are some things that you and I can indeed learn from this Canaanite mother. She was worthy to be called mom because of the extent she went to for her child's healing. She needed help for her daughter because her daughter was severely demon-possessed. And this is kind of it. She refused to take no for an answer. She refused, absolutely, totally dug her feet in the ground, and she says, I'm going to get what I came for, not for her own benefit, not so that she could enjoy life, but so that her daughter could be free. Now, the attitude of Jesus in this story, I got to tell you something, is a bit interesting, amen? This is not the Jesus that you normally see whenever he's approached by somebody to give help to a family member or even take help for their own selves. But Jesus, I really believe as he walked this woman through the various phases of this miracle that took place in her daughter's life, I believe indeed it was a test of faith. And one of the things we see is this mom passed the test, amen? I have an idea that we could all chime in and say, man, along with the way Jesus responded to her, your faith is great. Amen? And this is what I've learned along the years. Whenever you get somebody who has great faith, you'll see God doing great things in their lives. Amen? First thing we got to talk about whenever you look at this story is that this mom went to the right person. Amen? She went to the right person. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, saying, Have mercy on me, O son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. She was drawn to Jesus. She was drawn to Jesus. Now think about that just for a moment. She was drawn to Jesus. Now, this is kind of the thing I want to know. I want to know what drew her to Jesus. Why was it that of all the many people that she could have went to for her daughter, what was it that took her to the very personal space of Jesus Christ? What was it? I believe there was a couple of things. I think she had either heard great things about Jesus, or perhaps she had even seen Jesus in operation. Because by the time that she meets up with Jesus here in Matthew chapter 15, one of the things we know is Jesus had already done all kinds of miracles. All kinds of things were part of his resume, if you would. So one of the things that drew her to Jesus was either she had heard of him or she had seen him. She was driven to Jesus by the greatness of her need. I've encouraged people from time to time to pray about everything. To pray about everything. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. See, I think one of the things we have here in the Western culture that you and I have grown up in is we've got an I can do attitude. We're Americans, amen? We're the ones that ushered in the Industrial Revolution. We're the ones that brought in this amazing thing called capitalism and democracy. Are you following? We're Americans. We're can-do people. And it even makes it worse for you if you're born in Texas. Hey, I'm serious. Texans, man, they have an attitude even above the normal American's attitude that we can do it. Hey, I'm a Texan. Now, my daughter's a Texan, so I can't, for the most part, knock it. And I was born real close to Texas. My dad was a Texan. I guess he still is. I don't think he's denounced his citizenship yet. But we've got this I can do attitude. And here's the thing. So many things that occur in our lives, we take the bull by the horn and we get it done ourselves. Amen? We just do it ourselves. We don't even say stop and take time and say, God, you know, I want you to be involved in this. One of the amazing things about kids ministry that I learned over the years is kids are not like that. Kids will turn to the Lord for everything, for the simplest, smallest little detail of their life. They're praying about it. And I got to be honest with you. The Bible says you really want to understand the things of the kingdom. He said you need to be like a little child. I believe that God wants us to consult with Him on all of the matters of our life, not just the biggies. But indeed, this woman was drawn to Jesus. She was driven to Jesus by the size of her need. Amen? See, I think we ought to go to Jesus with all of our needs. All of our needs. Miss Marilyn Stamey, which many of you know, she was my secretary for many, many years, and health has taken her out of this sanctuary on Sunday mornings. But one of the things that I was always amazed about Marilyn is she prayed about the tiniest of things. The tiniest of things. I remember one day she was working on a formula in the program called Excel, Microsoft Excel. She was unfamiliar with this program, but she needed nevertheless to be able to build this spreadsheet. And she came to me and she said, Pastor, she said, I am just not getting this program. She said, I think I'm too old to understand Excel. She was still dealing with a program called Microsoft Works. A few minutes later, I heard her at her desk saying, Father, give me the wisdom to do this program. About 30 minutes later, she came in and she said, Pastor, I've got it all figured out. This is how it works. Because you see, she called on the name of the Lord. She went to Jesus Christ, even with the smallest need. But in the life of this woman right here, I got to tell you, the greatness of her need brought her to Jesus. And by no means am I insisting that all of us should just go to Him for everything and leave the big needs out. Go to Him for everything, even the big needs. Amen? The greatness of her need. Her daughter was grievously ill. There's no telling what all things that her daughter had going and manifesting inside of her life, but nevertheless, the greatness of her need drove her to Jesus Christ. The need of her daughter's health drove her to Jesus Christ. And the one thing that we see whenever she gets there is there's no way that she is going to be overcome by discouragement. Now, just a question or two. Have any of you all ever experienced someone who had ever at one point in their life got discouraged? Or perhaps you can identify with discouragement because it's been in your own life. I can remember one time in particular, I wanted to go to the dump really bad because I love to go to the dump. I love to go to the dump. We were emptying the trash, and man, you go to the dump. Let me tell you what you find at the dump. Some of y'all look at the dump. You find good stuff at the dump, man, I'm telling you. There are crazy people out there that will actually throw away stuff that's still got life left in it. Oh, I'm told me I can't go to the dump. And I'm going to tell you something. That was great disappointment for about a five-year-old. It was awful. She said, no, you're going to have to stay here with your brother. I said, no, I don't want to stay here with my brother. She said, well, you're not going to the dump. She said, well, I said, well, if you leave me here with my brother, I'm going to be mean to him. He was like 11 years older than me. What could I have done? Plenty. But nevertheless, finally there came the confrontation. Whenever I decided I was going, she decided I wasn't going, and I took a swing at her. Oh, yeah, it was a bad day in the house of J.D. Watson. Yeah, I kicked, punched, she beat, and she won, and I didn't get to go to the dump. But I grew up, and whenever I grew up, I go to the dump anytime I want now, so just know that. Can you see a little bit of rebellion in me? Okay, never mind. That day I stayed home from the dump, and I got to be honest with you, I was overcome with discouragement and a sore bottom. This woman right here, though, see, basically she comes and she approaches Jesus, and she gets kind of the same response from Jesus. She would not be discouraged whenever Jesus wouldn't even respond to her outcry for her daughter. I mean, you think about that. How rude. But as I said at the beginning, I believe this was all a test of this woman's faith. He answered her not a word. She wouldn't be discouraged. She wouldn't even be discouraged by the contempt the disciples came and showed. The disciples all huddled up with Jesus. And you know this woman had to be within hearing distance of them. And they're saying, Jesus, send her away. Send her away. She's awful. I mean, seriously, how many of us, if we went to someone that had a reputation like Jesus's, and you spoke to them and they would not even speak to you, and then the inner circle, you know, the core group, they say, send her away, Jesus. How many of us would get discouraged and leave? I'm telling you, I would. I wouldn't just get discouraged. I'd leave and I'd cut their tires on the way out. Come on. His disciples urged him, saying, Jesus, send her away. She's crying out after us. But the thing is, the next thing is, she was not discouraged. She wasn't even discouraged about the very hard doctrine that Jesus said to her. But he answered and said, I wasn't sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Folks, I want to tell you something. Jesus nailed it on the head. This woman was outside of the sheepfold. The stuff that Jesus was offering in that day and time didn't belong to her. It belonged to the Jewish nation. Mother wasn't discouraged. She just stuck in there. I have an idea. She was standing there holding her purse in her high heels, and she was grinning the whole time. I mean, think about it. I don't think her face fell. I think she just stood there and she just grinned. You know how moms are. I'm going to get my way. Watch. I have more tricks in my book than that. Now this mom, she didn't get upset. I think she stood there grinning. I really believe this. I believe that she persisted in the right way. Because how many of you all know you can persist in the wrong way? There's been times when I've been praying, I've been asking God for something, and then I finally come to a place where I'm thinking, man, he's not hearing me like this. So I start going, oh God, why don't you even talk to me anymore? Did you hear that? Come on now, some of you probably identify with it. We start in our own way kind of acting out so that God will hear us. I want to tell you something. Whether you whisper or you shout, God's going to hear you. Amen? It's not the volume of your prayer. It's where it comes out of. And it comes out of the heart. I'm telling you, God's ear is inclined towards His people. This mother persisted in the right way. She came, and even through all of that, being rejected, the doctrine that Jesus spread out in front of her, hey, this isn't for you, it's for the house of Israel. You have to understand, she came and she worshiped Him. I got to tell you something, that's the right way to do it. That's the right way. She came and worshiped Him, and she said to Him, Lord, help me. I believe one of the most powerful prayers that any one of us can say at any given time in our lives is embedded in those three words, Lord, help me. I have to be very honest with you. There's been times in my life where literally calamity has been averted in my life because of a simple prayer that says, Jesus. And He gave the interpretation because my life was literally in peril. And He intervened and His hand stopped the destroyer. Are you with me? But there's been times whenever all I could get out of my mouth was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I've been in situations where I didn't know what it was that I was supposed to say next. And under my breath, I'm saying, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. I've been in situations before where financially I didn't know what to do. And I cried out to the Lord, help me. I've been in a situation before where I've been raising my kids and I came to the end of my expertise, my ability, my wisdom. I came to the end of it. And there was two options. I was either going to pray and ask God's help or I was going to sell them to the gypsies, one or the other. And the gypsies weren't paying much at that time, so I said, Lord, I'm a parent and I'm trying to parent this kid and I have no idea what to do. Lord, help me. I got to be very honest with you. Whenever you start crying out, Lord, help me, one of the things you got to set aside real quick is your self-confidence, your self-righteousness. You got to get away from the flesh, because whenever you start crying out, Lord, help me, that's got to come from the soul. It's a powerful three-word prayer. I can remember a testimony given several years about a young man who had just all of his life had traveled down the wrong path, if that makes any sense. And as he grew and matured, he just kept down that same path. But the only thing about changed about that path is the things that he had gotten into became much more serious, much worse. He found himself one day in his home brutalizing his wife. He was beating her. He said he was dragging her across the floor by her hair, and she was bloody from head to toe. Whenever her brother came in the room with a 12-gauge shotgun and shot him twice, point-blank range. He said whenever he was laying there on the floor, there was one thing he could think of, and that was a memory verse he had learned whenever he was a child, his one occasion of being in church at a vacation Bible school. And he said that scripture began to run over in his head. And he began to say, Lord, help me. To make a long story or a long testimony real short, he recuperated from his injuries. But he still walked down the same road that he was walking down whenever he sustained those injuries. Several months went by and a young man and a young lady stopped and picked him up in their car as a hitchhiker and witnessed to him, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Whenever I seen him, he had been clean. He had been reunited with his wife. His wife had gotten born again, and they were both a ministry team going all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. She would not be discouraged by the seeming unconcern of Jesus. He answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now that one there is the one that really kind of arrests me every time I read it. I'm thinking, Jesus, you've just called this woman a dog. To take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And now I've done some research and I've looked at this, and the word that they use here in the Greek means little dogs. In fact, the New King James actually translates that way, the little dogs, but it denotes kind of maybe like a lap dog or, you know, a little house pet, you know, not the kind of scavenging mongrel dogs that roam the city. And you know, you can look at it that way and you can say, well, maybe it was a little more tender, because he was talking about a chihuahua that you pet a lot. And I thought, but he still called her a dog. Come on now. He still called her a dog, and she was not discouraged. My wife often tells me sometimes that I missed my main calling in life. Instead of being a minister, I could have been a lawyer. Because I have a tendency to argue pretty much about everything. And I like to win. Whenever I argue, I like for the judge to finally rule in my favor. Is there anybody else in here like that? Come just quickly. Three of you. Come on now. And how many of you have come to church and said, I will not tell the truth today, no matter what? Okay. Well, see, I think it'll be at this point where the disciples are trying to run me off. Jesus wouldn't speak to me. Whenever he does speak to me, he tells me things that I don't want to hear. He calls me a dog. I think this is the time where I'd probably put both hands on my hips and say, listen, man, We're going to talk about this for a minute, and really what I'm trying to say is I'm going to argue with you about it. But you know, this lady didn't even argue with him. That's the story. And she said, "Yes, Lord." That's what she said. I'm just really curious, how many of y'all would have just saddled up to that? "Yeah, I'm a dog." I would have been greatly offended by that. I don't know about you. Even if you'd call me a good dog or even a smart dog. An inside dog. Because you know inside dogs have it better than outside dogs, yeah? Yeah? Now, if he had called me a cat, that would have been where I draw the line. Yeah? She said, "Yes, Lord." It's a great place, though, to put a comma, because right after she says, "Yes, Lord," she says, "Yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Yeah. I'm a little dog, but Lord, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the master's got a lot of food on his table. And as his kids are eating that food, there's got to be a crumb or two falls on the floor. You see, I think she was intimately familiar with what the little dogs that ran around the house did. For a few years, we had a wiener dog that ran around our house. And I'm telling you, man, she was the world's greatest vacuum cleaner. We never had to vacuum food off the floor ever. And I'll be honest with you, she'd eat just about anything. We'd drop a jalapeno on the floor, she'd eat that thing, man. She'd go, "It came off of their table, it must be good." She'd eat it. Crazy dog. Her name was Sweet Pea. We paid $7,000 for it it wasn't $7,000, but it seemed like it, at a pet shop, because my daughter came to me and she said, "We're going to take my dog home?" I said, "Well, of course. I have a credit card. It's got a $10,000 limit. Let's just put it right there on the credit card." So we had Sweet Pea for about 45 years. But I understand what she's talking about here, because indeed, the little dogs, they get the crumbs off the floor that fall off the master's table. You see, there's times in our lives whenever we might feel like contending with the Lord. And indeed, there's been times in my own life where I have argued with Him. I've argued because I didn't like the answer that He gave me. I've argued with Him. I've begged Him for an answer. And then whenever He gave me an answer, I didn't like it. Come on, I'm just being transparent. There's times whenever we might want to argue with the Lord. Whenever we don't get the response from Him we're seeking. And there's been other times in my life, whenever He's given me the answer, I didn't like it. Or He's not given me the answer and I really didn't like it. Hello? There's just times whenever the Lord doesn't say anything to me other than just trust me. And I'm going, "I am, but I really like to know." Come on. But through it all, I think one thing that has to stand out in our lives, that no matter what He gives us as an answer, or no matter how many times He may not speak to us, we are going to give Him honor. And we're going to continue to ask, "Lord, mercy and compassion on me." Amen? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you." And whenever I read that scripture, you know, I'm thinking, God says, ask, seek, knock. I think we can take that scripture and kind of put it in a nutshell and come up with this. Ask and keep on asking. Ask and just keep on asking. Ask and just keep on asking and it will be given unto you. Now, how many of you as a child, you had that down pat with your parents? Yes. I see that hand. Thank you, Derek, for being honest. Ah. I've got kids of my own that take after their mom, and I'm telling you, they're that kind of kid that just comes and they just ask and they just keep on asking and they just keep on asking and they just ask some more. And you tell them, "You know, I'm going to think about it," and it doesn't matter if they think about it or not. They're back in your face 10 minutes later going, "Okay, can you do that for me? Can I get out? Can I? Just like her mother. I mean, their mother. Just like. They just ask and ask and ask. I'm telling you, persistence pays off with the Lord. And it's not just so that we can do repetition and just ask and ask and ask, but I want to tell you something. After a little while, whenever you don't get what it is that you need from the Lord, so often you'll fall into what this lady never got into, and that's a place of discouragement. I've been there before whenever I've just quit praying. I've just gotten discouraged, and I said, man, it's just never going to happen. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't care, and I've just quit praying. But I tell you, whenever we began to say, listen, I'm going to knock and I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to ask and I'm going to keep asking. The Bible tells us in a story about a persistent widow. She just asked and asked and asked until finally the unrighteous judge said, listen, man, I have to have some relief. So I'm going to do what it is you asked me to do. God says, be persistent with your prayers. And indeed, this lady just kept on asking. She relentlessly followed this course of action, and we see that she got what she wanted. She got what she wanted. You know, can I redo that? Her prayer was answered. I like that better. I'm just curious at how many in this room would say, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a time in my life, and now there may be multiple times, but I'm just asking you to just pick one, where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, all other things that could have caused this aside, but you know that God answered a prayer that you prayed. In other words, God did a miracle. Raise your hands quickly. Oh, so we got quite a few people in here. See, I've been there whenever God has come through. I've been there whenever I was relentless in my pursuit of having a prayer answered. And finally, the answer comes, and man, you just stand there and you're just going, man, God, you are awesome, man. See, God came through for this woman. Jesus Christ and His mercy and His compassion upon her, this test of faith, and she just kept coming forward. She just kept coming forward. She just kept coming forward. Nothing would deter her from getting this grievous illness of her daughter taken care of. She got the result that she so desperately desired. See, it's kind of like this. Whenever you read this scripture, then Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Whew. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So in other words, whenever Jesus said that word, healing went into her daughter's body. She was free from that that so perplexed her and her mom both. Amen? You know what I call that? I call that a reward. Seriously. She was rewarded because she never let up. She was rewarded because she never went backward. She was rewarded because of her undaunting faith. Jesus said, hey, this very hour, let it be as you desire. I wish we would all learn a lesson from this lady. Resist discouragement. Seriously, resist it with every fiber that you have inside of you. Resist discouragement. Keep asking until the righteous desires of our hearts are granted. Some of you look discouraged right now. Resist discouragement. I know so many of you personally, and in knowing you, I know pieces and parts of your story. Some of you I pray for on a regular basis because of things that are going on in your homes. I can tell you without any kind of movement to the right or left, it is good to have a praying mom on your side. Listen to me now. It is good to have a praying mom on your side. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not demeaning dads or anything like that. But there is a tenacity within the DNA of a mom that I'm telling you, I would rather have a praying mom on my side than a praying dad. I'm just being strictly honest with you. Because there's just something about a mom that just, it just holds on. And you see it in this story. You see it really just brought to life in how this lady reacted. Nothing deterred her. Nothing discouraged her. She got what she wanted. You see, moms, they just have this ability because of something God has wound into them to just pray for their kids. Just pray for their grandkids. And every once in a while, you see a mom just gathering up more than their kids and grandkids. They'll know some neighbor lady next door that their child's going through all kinds of chaotic stuff. And they'll just gather that child up as well and say, I'm telling you, I'm going to take that child to the throne of God for you. I'm going to pray till we see some results in that young lady's life. Come on now, I've just seen moms do it. Whenever I was in children's ministry, one of the ways that I incorporated help, because so often we had kids that were just so unmanageable. They had grown up in homes that were just, they were just terrible. And they would come in to a setting as children's church was, and they just acted out in all different ways. We had kids that had not only grown up in all kinds of crazy settings, but they would come into our children's ministry with emotional problems, discipline problems, problems of all sorts. Many times they'd come out of situations where abuse had been the common around their homes. And I got to be honest with you, I needed help. Because as a children's pastor, there was just so many things I couldn't do. And so I enlisted the help of moms and dads and grandmoms and granddads. I would pass out little 3x5 cards to a group of people, probably 150 strong. There were many of them are the seniors in our church. And I'd go to them and I'd say, Miss Karen, here's a young lady that I've got in children's church. And I just had a brief little description of what it was that she was going through. And I said, will you pray for her? And I'd pass one out to Mr. Richard Anders. I'd say, Richard, would you pray for this young man? And I'd pass these cards out all over our sanctuary. And many times these cards were in duplicates. You know, I'd have 10 or 12 of them from one child, and I'd pass them out. And I got to tell you something. I heard back from the men. Please don't misunderstand me. I know we got a lot of men that pray. I heard back from the men sometimes. But I want to tell you something, man. I got women that were into it. They'd come to me and say, listen, I've been praying. God woke me up 2:30 this morning. And I'm telling you, that young lady is going to do what she needs to do in children's church this morning. God's spirit is going to be all over her this morning. You watch. They would give me reports of how God was using them to pray. And they'd say, Pastor, you need to try this. You know, you need to try that. And I was just so blessed by the spirit of the mom that was inside of them. Jesus answered her and said, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Today is Mom's Day. And I know this is a day where we're supposed to be serving you, ladies. And we're supposed to be taking care of you. We're supposed to be propping your feet up and giving you a foot massage and getting you a glass of tea and just taking care of you. Now, guys, you're in serious trouble. Didn't you hear what Pastor said today? I know this is the day that we're supposed to take care of you. But I can't let this message go by without enlisting your help. And so I would really like to ask you moms to do something for somebody else here on Mother's Day. I want to enlist your prayers. I really do. Miss Debbie, I know you got things you want to pray about in your family, and I know you hold those things up before the Lord as a mom and a grandma. Miss Shirley, I know you do too. Miss Linda, I know you do. Karen, I know you got things you're praying for. And see, I can just go right down the list. Nancy, I know you're all the way back there in the back, but I know because I pray for things that you pray for. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this, I'm going to ask you moms to just sit for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, what or who do you want me praying for this morning? Because, see, I think you moms got this kind of spirit going on inside of you. Nothing deters you. Nothing's going to discourage you. You're going to come and you're going to pray and you're going to believe God for what it is you're praying. And I got to be honest with you, I believe that you're going to be met by an incredible Jesus that's going to say, your faith is great. You've got what it is that you desire. See, because I think y'all are kind of like this lady. I said earlier in the message that she had either heard great things about Jesus or she had seen great things done by Jesus. And so that's why she came. And I have an idea, every one of you ladies in this room, you've heard a lot of great things about Jesus. Amen? So she came because she had seen or heard great things, but she also came because of the greatness of her need. See, this is the deal. Some of y'all's kids, their souls are literally in the balance today. You have grandkids, nieces, nephews. You have friends, co-workers, neighbors, that literally the greatness of their needs. You've got kinfolk in your family that have been diagnosed with a horrible diagnosis. And you're here and you're saying, Lord, intervention. They shall live and not die. Be healed by the stripes that Jesus took on his back. And so I'm going to ask you ladies, if you would, to just come out of your seats. And I'd like for you to come here to the front because you represent an amazing group of people within the body of Christ. Moms, grandmoms. But I'm just going to ask all of the ladies if you'd be all right, because I think you all got it in you. No matter whether you're a mom or not, would you just get out of your seats and come to the front? Just stand here at the altars if you would. And then we're going to do one thing before we pray. But as you come, you've got somebody in your mind. This is the same way that the mom came to Jesus. This Samaritan woman, as she came to Jesus, she had somebody in her mind that she needed Jesus to intervene on their behalf. And so as you come, it could be a grandson, a granddaughter, a niece, a nephew. Miss Stephanie, you got people that you love that are being shifted all around. Little bitty babies that don't deserve what they're getting. But we're going to believe God that these kids are going to grow and mature, and somehow or another God's divine hand is going to be involved in their life. And whenever they come to maturity, they're going to follow hard after Jesus Christ. See, that's mom's just got this. And so this morning you got somebody in your mind. So now what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to join hands, because see, whenever you join hands, it just shows us this amazing picture of unity and strength. So now, ladies, I'm going to pray with you, if that's all right. And I'm not going to change my voice into a high voice or anything. But I'm going to pray with you. But I'd like for you to have your voice heard in heaven this morning. For whatever or whoever that you've walked these aisles for. Somebody or something that God has laid upon your heart. And you want to see this. You want to see the miracle. You want to see the answer. And there is no stopping in you. You're not going to turn around. You're not going to be discouraged. You're not going to argue about it. You're just going to worship the Lord. And your faith is going to be rewarded in Jesus' name. So this morning, let's just lift up these needs before God. Let Him hear your prayer request. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, Lord. And we've got a group of people at the front of this sanctuary this morning, Lord. And they are a mean business and a do business group, Father. They're coming to you and they mean business about who it is that they brought, what it is that they brought before your throne. And they're doing business with you right now, Lord. Father, as their voices are heard in the kingdom, Father God, Lord, as their persistence is heard in the kingdom, Lord, Father, we know that that brings delight to your heart because these ladies walk in faith, Lord God, believing that they know a Jesus that is able to do exceeding above anything they can ask or even think. They know a Jesus that is available to do the impossible in their lives. They know a Jesus that can bring the wayward son, the wayward daughter.